The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today's show is brought to you by the Brothers Karamazov. Not the book, the actual brothers themselves.
They love Eric and wanted to support him, so they decided to sponsor the show.
Is that not amazing?
And Dostoevsky doesn't know a thing about it.
And he invented them.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I hate when somebody is outed like that. The Brothers K, as I call them, they wanted that to be anonymous. And now everybody knows. What are you going to do? Folks, today, what's today, Monday? Today's Monday. I'm sitting here with a new guest. He pronounces his name Jeff Balaban, so I'm going to try to pronounce it that way as well. Jeff Balaban, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
You're hard to sum up, but I'm also hard to sum up. We are eclectic. We are large. We contain multitudes, to quote Whitman. We both went to Yale. You went to Yale Law School. That's way tougher to get into than Yale undergrad. Can I tell you how believe me?
Oh, I already know.
You grew up in Queens, which is right across the river, and I also grew up in Queens, and it's not even a river. The East River is an estuary, and you are an Orthodox Jew who's known to be a conservative political activist. You are officially with the Trump 2020 campaign, and you were senior executive at CBS News. That doesn't begin to cover it, but that's the long way of saying thanks for being here.
I could not be more excited to be here.
We can talk about anything, but I want my audience to get to know you. So let's talk a bit about your background. You're an Orthodox Jew. I assume you were raised that way?
Yes.
In Queens?
Yes.
Where?
Well, originally in Forest Hills.
Forest Hills?
Yes.
See, I grew up in Jackson Heights, was 100% Jewish when I grew up there. And then it turned into like a Colombian drug area. And all the Jews moved to Westchester, right?
Well, some of us stayed in Queens. We moved from Forest Hills to Hillcrest. You know where Hillcrest is?
Nah.
Right near St. John's. Closer to Jackson Heights, actually, than Forest Hills is.
But Forest Hills did not become like a Colombian drug activity kind of neighborhood. But all right, so you were raised that way. Were you raised as a political conservative?
Not at all. My father, God bless him, is from the U.K., he's from England, and is an economist. And growing up, I think of him as half a socialist. He's seen the error of his ways, I think, more recently, or he's seen the error of everyone else's ways, because I think people of goodwill can make make the mistake of thinking that everyone else has the same goodwill, which leads to slightly utopian thinking.
Right.
My mother, who was actually born in Poland during the Holocaust and was hidden by a Christian family for about 4 years, then came over here after the DP camps, and also very, I think, liberal in the way she thinks. She was a part of the teachers' union and never understood when I first got involved in politics. I remember she called me during the 96 convention. I'm watching the floor debates trying to catch a glimpse of you.
Right.
Why do Republicans hate education so much? I said, no, Ma. They love education. They hate the unions. You know all those complaints you have about how the unions get in the way of education? That's what they don't like.
Well, of course. Oh. Well, actually, yeah. I mean, I think we would both say that it is because we love education that we hate the unions and have a problem with teachers' unions, because
right.
we're under the impression, based on unfortunately some facts, that they're not the best thing for the kids. Okay, I wanted to have you on for many reasons, just because we had fun when we met talking. But I want to talk first of all about current events. Okay, so since today is a Monday, we're in the middle of a shutdown. They had snow in D.C. yesterday. The president it's interesting. When the history books are written, you know they're going to write about this time, okay? They're going to say there was a shutdown. The president began to take on something, this is my impression, of a bunker mentality. He is alone in Washington, you know, you remember Nixon and Kissinger praying by the bed. You remember like these strange moments when the president is sort of feeling lonely, maybe sorry for himself. Something is going on. This is not the Trump on the stump, so to speak. You know, the blustering figure. Something is happening right now. So, what are your thoughts?
I feel like you're channeling the image that was tweeted out of Donald Trump standing. It's kind of a moody shot of him in the Oval Office next to this picture of Senator Menendez.
That's
vacationing.
That's a big part of it. That's part of it.
So I don't know, bunker mentality. I think that Donald Trump is a fascinating figure. I don't know that he's draining the swamp, but I feel like he's walking across the swamp, which is miraculous in itself. And I think that what's happening now in Washington is really, this is the outside. He's an outsider. He always has been an outsider. People have been trying to pigeonhole him into a political box that he doesn't really fit in very well.
Yeah.
And he's able to make drastic changes while he's there. How much it's going to structurally change Washington, I don't know. So when the history books are written, it's going to depend on who the victors are, how this is portrayed. But at this moment, this shutdown is fascinating. Not the snow shutdown, but the government shutdown over a fundamental promise he made on the campaign trail.
Well, it's not even that. It's a promise President Obama made.
Correct.
President Clinton made. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And so the way I find myself seeing it is that the Democrats, this is to me where they have fatally overplayed their hand. If you hate someone so much, everybody knows this, right? Why is it good to forgive? One of the reasons it's good to forgive is that it kills you if you're angry and you're thinking about vengeance and whatever. And I really believe that at this point, the Democrats, their policy is only one thing: kill Donald Trump, get him out of office, do anything you can to obstruct him. So it doesn't matter what he says, whatever he says, you're against it. So you remember the old Groucho song, right? You know, whatever it is, I'm against it. So whatever he says, even if he says, I think Nancy Pelosi is the greatest woman who's ever walked on planet Earth, they would find a way to attack it. And so it's very bizarre. We've never seen anything quite like this. I mean, they didn't hate Nixon as much as they hate this president, right? So if he is for the wall, they are entrenched as against it. And I actually believe his base becomes more and more for him because they see him so relentlessly attacked. So I don't know where that's going to go. Where do you think it's going to go?
So let me unpack it just a little bit. First of all, people tend to project themselves onto images like Donald Trump, people who are colossal. And this change was colossal. And Donald Trump, from the beginning, talked about a big wall with a big, beautiful door. But everybody, right and left, focused on the wall and ignored the door because it didn't fit the narrative. It didn't fit the narrative of the people who really don't like the immigration situation at all, because maybe there's a little bit of jingoism for some of them. But mostly it's because Americans feel insecure that our border is porous and horrible and it needs to be fixed desperately. And I think Donald Trump was right from the beginning that Americans are very generous by our nature. And if we feel secure, we want to have... We actually want a robust immigration where we're thinking about what are the right people to bring into this country, who's going to help our society, who's going to be part of our society. We know we're a nation of immigrants. And Donald Trump had the balance exactly right, but no one paid attention to the balance. It was big wall, big, beautiful door. And then months ago, the DACA thing came up, and Trump said, sure, not a problem. I will see you and triple you, right?
Okay, now here's the thing we have to clarify. Many, hard on immigration conservatives flipped out when he said, sure, we'll give you the Dreamers, we'll give it, because they thought, no, you're caving. So we have to be clear that to paint him as some black and white hardliner on immigration is itself false.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He had this balance of, but there's an order to it, which is first you have the big, beautiful wall. First you fix the border. You fix the system. You take control.
Right.
And then you open it up and say, how do we have an immigration system that is genuinely has the conscience of America, America's greatness and goodness in asylum seekers, and also seeks to use immigration to bring in the people who actually will benefit this country. And he got it right, but no one wanted to hear it. The ones who hated him wanted to say, oh, he wants a wall because he hates everyone who's not a white American. The ones who loved it said, oh, he wants to build this wall. You see, and that's the problem.
The fact that people on CNN and MSNBC and other places are actually saying that he wants to make America great again, meaning make America white again, make America white. I got to say, that's when you know we are in an ideological civil war, because that is absolute madness. But these people firmly believe it. You can't get it out of their heads. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Jeff Balaban. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand.
If you could just talk to someone, it would make all the difference in the world. I mean, really open up and lay it out there. You would be amazed at how much progress you could make by talking to someone with your same Christian values, someone with wisdom and insight. I know you think there's no one you can really open up to, but there is Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who will help you through your issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
When it comes to your identity and the personal information on your devices, there's no soundtrack to let you know you're in danger. Today's digital world is so connected, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing LifeLock now adds the power of Norton Security. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect threats like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security helps protect up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, we can help alert you to danger. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com now and use promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART to save 10%. LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My husband and I wanted to buy a new car, and we don't have very good credit rating, so the bank recommended Trinity, so we called them. And the people were very nice. They told us the best solution for our problems.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
Trinity consolidated our bills, got us a lower interest rate, and a much better monthly payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. Reduce your interest and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
We feel much better now. Things are going pretty well. And since we've been with Trinity, our credit rating has really improved.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Ann, and we're debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep right now, is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a 4-pack offer that includes 2 premium MyPillows with 2 go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or METAXAS, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code ERIC or METAXAS, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
Levon wears his war wound like a crown. It calls his child Jesus.
Holy cow. Did you hear that? Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here with Jeff Balaban, and we're laughing because when we went out of the break, it was with James Taylor, and he says, "Won't you look upon me, Jesus?" Kind of have a right song. And then we came in with Elton John's Leave On, and of course, he says he called his son Jesus. Now, I just assure you, my Orthodox brother in faith, that we do not tee these up just to tease you. It's kind of funny because it is so random, but anyway, I'm glad you like the music on the program.
I do.
We look, and by the way, Jesus was a Jew. You probably didn't know that.
Okay, so not a Palestinian.
You were
he's a Palestinian. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was a homeless Palestinian,
yeah.
Right? Who lived in San Francisco in one of the in a camp. Okay, you're with the Trump campaign 2020.
Yes.
So obviously, you don't think he's going to be impeached. Why not? Neither do I. But why don't you?
By the way, go right ahead. Meaning, if the Democrats want to try this, let them go right ahead. I don't think it's going to be good for them. And, you know, as you pointed out before we went into break, this is past all rationality. It's not about the issues. It's everything's weaponized. There are no limitations. The Constitution they see as a barrier to themselves. And so even though there's nothing but nothing remotely approaching high crimes and misdemeanors, they don't care. I mean, they think impeachment means I disagree with you. So I disagree with you, so I want to criminalize you, I want to throw you in a camp, and I want to impeach you if you're the president.
But they have become – see, this is what's so fascinating to me. And when I was initially for Trump, I wasn't as strongly for him as I have become because the way he has been attacked, the Kavanaugh hearings and on, I thought our democracy is in trouble.
Yes.
Because the left has become so angry that they no longer – have their eye on the ball of liberty, America, justice for all. They are simply consumed with destroying the man they hate. And so they have created an area of where, as I said earlier, they're convinced he's a racist. They're convinced everyone who voted for him is a racist, which is hilarious. Like people, the bar for racism has gone like to, I mean, it's just insane. But that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's fascinating to me in my little Orthodox Jewish bubble is that now there's this fierce move because Orthodox Jews, the more observant you are, I'm guessing across the spectrum, but in terms of Judaism, the more you're a Trump supporter. They just had a poll earlier this year. 90%+ of Orthodox Jews support Donald Trump, which is incredible. Because
90%+.
Yeah.
In our building, very Jewish building, all the Orthodox Jews in our building are big Trump supporters.
Sure. And so what's happening now is the leftist Jewish organizations, which are basically just shilling for the Democratic Party, are making the argument that Jews have to shut up because we have white privilege. Now, let me tell you, my grandparents were literally killed for not having white privilege. I mean, on the papers, because we have the papers, in German, it mentions their race. So suddenly, right, we're now the whitest of white, we're now racist, and the idea is, you know, shut up because we don't want to hear what you have to say. Because
well, you become white, right? When my father came to this country as a Greek, okay, he and the other grease balls were not considered Americans and white and whatever. You know, in other words, it happens to every ethnic group. The Irish, you know, were considered apes, right? I mean, it go back to 1830. So that kind of nativism has always been among truly racist people, whoever's coming in, right? So at one point, you know, it's the Jews on the Lower East Side, it's the Irish, it's the Greeks, it's the Italians, it's the whatever it is, right? And so suddenly now, all of those people who were labeled as outsiders, and if you didn't like them, you really were a xenophobe, all those people are labeled as white xenophobes who want to keep out the brown people. It's the narrative of our time.
Well, here's an interesting dynamic, which is I'm going to say that Jews fall into an interesting hybrid category because, and a lot of Christians have a hard time understanding this, you know, there's a concept that if you're born Jewish, you're a Jew forever, no matter what you believe. You could profess Christianity and you're still considered a Jew.
Because it's an ethnic group.
Well, that's the thing. It's a national ethnic group. It's a race, according to many, even in terms of DNA, and it's a faith. But just because you're born to a Jewish family doesn't mean you profess the faith, right? And yet you're still considered a Jew. So what's happening?
Like Karl Marx.
Like Karl Marx, like many. What's happening is that just like in America today, you can speak rationally of a Catholic vote, but not so much an Irish or Italian vote,
right?
Because that's just generically white.
Right.
With the Jews, we have a schism where there is actually a Jewish vote, and that's the Jews who go to synagogue, you know, multiple times a week, the faith vote. The rest, they are just ethnically white. And it's funny because they're the ones leading the charge telling my side of the equation, be quiet because we're all white. And just, we haven't actually made that jump. We still remain a minority.
I mean, the idea that anyone would dare to tell anyone to be quiet because of their race. I mean, if somebody would dare to tell me to be quiet because I'm white, I think to myself, wow, can you imagine if Martin Luther King were alive today, what he would say? I mean, the idea, in a way, as a culture, because of liberal identity politics, we are far more racist than we were in the 60s. It's a dramatic thing to talk so much about the color of people's skin.
Well, I learned racism at Yale Law School. I mean, I grew up, I guess, feeling as an outsider altogether. I was aware there was a culture that wasn't mine because it was the dominant culture. But where I grew up, everyone was an Orthodox Jew. And so my first time encountering this other lives are when I go to law school. I'm already an adult. And that's where I first learned racism. I literally remember thinking at the age of 26 that I couldn't distinguish between skin color and hair color. Like, why would that be a marker for anything, right? Why would you ever think that someone – and I couldn't understand it. And the first night in law school, we don't know each other yet, and somebody came over, a group of us, and said, do you know who so-and-so is? And they said, yeah, he's over there in the corner. I said, which one? And I said, oh, he's the black guy, because he was the only black guy in a group of three or four people. And a friend of mine became my roommate. He said, he was scandalized. That's racist. I said, why is it? I didn't understand. What does that mean? He said, well, why are you identifying by his skin? I said, I mean, it's the obvious choice. Well, how would you like it's if someone like said, you're the guy head. With the yarmulke? The answer is, okay, I am the guy with the yarmulke. Why?
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, I'm walking outside the Yale Co-op with somebody. I forget what that main drag is.
Of course.
And his car's broken into. And this is, who was part of this conversation, was part of berating me 2 weeks earlier. And the first words out of his mouth when he sees the smashed window is, effing N-word. Okay.
Wait, who said that?
This guy, this another classmate of mine. First was that I was shocked because I would never have thought that. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, what do you mean? Who else would have done this? And I realized that's it. I mean, it's this projection of this profound, deep identity politics, right? And it's projected out onto the world.
Right.
And it's truly, it's gruesome. I mean, it's evil.
Well, it's interesting, too, because racism is a race, I should say. Is so complicated, but we don't talk about it as though it's complicated, right? In other words, when first of all, it's a cultural thing, okay? Our former President Obama, his skin color was, you know, what we call black, right? But his mother was whiter than we are, and his father was not an African-American. His father was an African from Africa who lived in Africa who was a Marxist academic, right?
Right.
So when you think of African Americans and that narrative, Obama doesn't fit into that at all. And it wasn't really, you know, until later in life that he began to identify with those groups because he grew up in Indonesia. He grew up in Hawaii. He grew up in other words, when do you decide I'm going to be a black guy from Chicago? I'm going to marry Michelle Obama. I'm going to become something else. And this, we all do this. You've done it in your life. I've done it. You know, as you go through life, you kind of figure out where you fit in. And I just find it fascinating because when it comes to race in this day and age, we never talk about that. It's this or it's that. It's that or it's this. I think that is true racism.
I had a fascinating conversation with somebody I just met recently, and I didn't realize this until well into the conversation, but I knew he was Jewish and a very Jewish name. I didn't realize his mother was black. And he said that. And then he just on his own said he finds a big division between people whose parents married half Jewish, half black, whose parents married to make a point and who married for love.
Oh.
And he said there's this whole period of time. And he said it was a fascinating conversation, which I can't even begin to understand the complexities of it. Right.
Yeah.
It's your point. It's complicated. And I asked him how he identifies. He goes, oh, I identify as Jewish. And he was his whole theory about, but his theory was that mixed race in this culture is some kind of a sweet spot for, you know, I don't, it's you're right, it's very difficult to talk about these things, but I do know that the problem is we focus so much on this, and the substance of what makes America great and makes the culture great, which is ideas and virtue,
right,
and it's being lost in this identity politics.
Well, see, this is, I mean, look, it's one of the reasons I want to have you on as my guest. And it's something that I want to dare to talk about. I'm not afraid to talk about this. Many people are afraid to go there, quote unquote. I'm not, because I think we're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to speak what's in our hearts. And I feel that the chilling effect that political correctness has had on America is so fundamentally un-American that it makes me sick. It is evil. It's harming people. We need to be able to speak our minds to be free. And I want this radio program to be a place where we can do that. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back with Jeff Balaban.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump just wrapping up his address at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention in New Orleans today. A crowd that he's comfortable with. Common sense people, he calls them, who are the backbone of our country. And later today at the White House, the president welcomes the college football champion Clemson Tigers. Woefully inadequate, that is what the teachers union calls the most recent offer by the L.A. Unified School District. So teachers in the nation's second largest public school district are striking today. 30,000 Los Angeles teachers walking the picket lines. They want smaller classes for students and larger paychecks. Police in Logan Township, New Jersey, say a hostage situation has ended after a suspect is shot at a UPS facility with no serious injuries to the two female victims. And on Wall Street, everything's still in the red. The Dow down 97, NASDAQ down 52, S&P down 13. This is SRN News.
Happened. You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-5387. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful.
Magical. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Supertramp. I'm Eric Metaxas. Folks, I don't want to forget. In Hour 2 today, we have a true Miracle Monday story. We're going to be talking to Joseph Pierce. He was a genuine white supremacist, racist, violent maniac who gave his life to God and is a totally transformed human being. You will not believe his story. That's in Hour 2. Right now, I'm talking to a man who converted from being sort of liberal to extremely conservative, I think. Is that true? I mean, when you grew up, you describe your parents as being kind of like run-of-the-mill, you know, Queens, mostly liberal Jews. Is that roughly where they were coming from politically?
I mean, they were observant, and so...
I don't mean theologically.
No, right.
So, but I'm saying when you talk about politics.
Yeah, I think the belief that the government is a good engine for redistribution in a positive way.
Did they vote for McGovern?
I have no idea who they voted for.
Oh,
I was totally apolitical. I was totally apolitical until I was 31 or 32.
What?
I couldn't care less. I didn't read the papers. I didn't vote.
Okay. Now, yeah. So I got to ask you the big question.
Sure.
Because this is where I've been leading. When did you become political? What happened to you?
So I was a very unhappy lawyer. And that was also a spiritual thing for me. I really wanted to study and teach English Lit. That was my degree. And I was persuaded that it's not realistic. So because I'm an argumentative, verbose Jew.
See, that's the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an English major at Yale. I got away with it. You didn't get away with it. You went to law school. You did others. You did the right thing, and you discovered on your own that it's a little complicated.
Well, I mean, I do have an undergraduate degree in English Lit, but yeah, I went to law school. And by the way, let me just – I'm sorry. This may be a little detour, but I decided to take a class with Harold Bloom because Yale Law School
can do what
you want.
This is not a detour. I took a class with Harold Bloom. Let's go.
It might have been the same class. So I took the class, and this is where I learned the difference between what passes for scholarship in academia today and with what I was brought up with in the Torah education world, in the right. Orthodox Jewish world.
Right.
So it was a class. I don't even remember which prophet. It was a J. It was a Joel or a Jonah. Or a Job. It was somebody. It was a J. Okay.
Yeah. He was big on Job.
So probably Job.
Because Job is poetic enough to give Harold Bloom as much license as he wants. Right. He doesn't. He would never take it, too literally. So for him, it's a text that he can play with.
I couldn't agree more. And so we're in there, and he posits a theory, and the theory is that every place the prophet says X. Right, we can extrapolate out. He means this, and this is how we could learn about the author of et cetera, et cetera. So it was my first day in the class. I didn't want to call out the great Harold Bloom in front of everyone and say, you don't know anything. So privately, I went afterwards to talk to him. And I said, I could think offhand of at least three places just from memory where the prophet doesn't say that. And I remember he
looked. What bad news to have a kid in the class who actually knows the text. Yeah.
Right. And in the original. So he sort of looks down his nose at me and says with perfect aplomb, he says, my theory is perfect. They never said the author was. Right? Now, here's the thing. I grew up with the following story of the Talmud.
That's a great line, by the way.
Right.
My theory is perfect. I never said the author was. Because that's the way, a literary critic like Harold Bloom actually thinks that way. It's about the theory. It's not,
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it's all the left's political theory. It's divorced from reality. But back to this. So I remember thinking at that moment, here's what I was brought up with in the yeshiva, which was the famous story that when you write a Torah, when the inscriptions, the letters have little crowns, they call them, little markings.
Yeah.
And they each have a meaning. And somebody, a great rabbi during the Talmudic period, spent decades trying to interpret the meaning of every one of them. And he was able to interpret the meaning of every single one of them, what it adds to the text of the Torah, of the Bible. And then there was one he couldn't. And he couldn't. And he gave up, and he said, if this is the case, then all my work is for naught. And he get rid of his entire theory, decades of his life, because if it wasn't perfectly true, then it was perfectly not true, right? Upon which the great Rabbi Akiva says, no, and he immediately interprets what this is. And the reason he's able to is because it's this word which has no meaning in English, and it's therefore used sometimes and not used sometimes, and it seems to add something to God. And the question is, how could you add something to God? And the answer is what he says, it's about honoring God. And he says all it includes his sages, the sages of his Torah. Why? Because God is perfect truth. And when he witnessed this man basically say, if it's not true, then I divorce myself from it. He said, see, this is godly. And therefore, it includes those true stages of Torah. It's a beautiful story. But I remember thinking it is the opposite in academia today, in secular academia, where it's not about truth at all. It's about publishing. It's about getting a theory out there. It's about ego.
Well, but let's get to the bottom. What we're talking about is a theory of the universe. One theory says God is the ground of all being. Everything that is was created by God. God is not created. He is outside of time and space. He created time and space. He defines what truth is, and it's our job to try to understand him, to try to understand the reality that he created. That's one view. Then there's another view. There's no God, and therefore anything is possible. Anything goes. It's about power. It's about how can I be, the king of the hill.
Do you know why that's true? Do you know why that's true?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because God creates us and does the greatest of all mysteries, he gives us free will. Therefore, each one of us at our core, the godliness that we have can brook no other existence besides ourselves. Okay? And therefore, you're right. So those who accept the notion that there's God also accept the notion that each one of us is God within us. Right?
Right.
Those who don't, they just try to project themselves onto everything. And it is about power. It is about control.
We're at a break. When we come back, we've got to pick that up. That's a big point. We'll be right back talking to Jeff Balaban. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Feeling overwhelmed by the start of the new year and all those resolutions you've made? Larry Elder here. Here's an incredibly easy, good-for-you way to get the extra boost you need to power through those resolutions. Get Superbeets by Human. Human Superbeets has harnessed the power of nutrient-rich beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide. You see, nitric oxide is exactly what your body needs more of to deliver more energy. I add one tiny teaspoon of great-tasting Superbeets to a glass of water every morning, and I get a heart-healthy boost without the need of a quick caffeine kick or sugar high. Superbeets gives me the energy I need to feel like I can conquer the world and all my resolutions. Right now, you can try Superbeets risk-free for 90 days. Get the result you want or get your money back minus return shipping. Call 800-996-3406 right now or go to elderbeets.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Superbeets and free shipping with your very first purchase. 800-996-3406 right now or go to elderbeets.com for this risk-free offer. 800-996-3406, elderbeets.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-942-4730. 800-942-4730. That's 800-942-4730.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-in Pest Free customers who have taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-in Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-in Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
Hey, folks, it's Eric from Texas Show. That's Peter Frampton. He's a Gentile. I'm also a Gentile, and I'm talking to a Jew. Jeff Balaban. We're talking about so much. I just asked you the question, you know, how you became so political. So you were making that point, and then I want to ask you about some current events.
All right, so just quickly how I became political, and Grover Norquist actually wrote this up in one of his books, and Leave Us Alone, I think is the name of the book, and he has a little section on how people became conservative, and I'm one of the people he highlights. I was just basically an unhappy lawyer because I didn't want to live a life where I was being paid to represent things I didn't necessarily believe in a system that wasn't geared towards truth. It was just uncomfortable, and I don't even know why it's allowed under my religion, but apparently it is because there are a couple of Jewish lawyers out there. So, okay. Anyway, I was looking for an escape, and I, you know, it's Yale, so my friends were owning art galleries and professing and et cetera. But the ones having a lot of fun were the ones working in policy. And again, it was alien to me. I went down to Washington, got a job on the Hill working in policy for Senator Jack Danforth, fascinating, also Episcopalian priest, and very serious about it. And when I got there, again, totally apolitical, it was my first meeting on the issue of welfare, which was being reformed. And we had a plan to help single parents with while they're being moved from welfare to work with job training and taking care of their kids and transportation.
What year roughly is this?
The end of 92, beginning of 93.
So this is before Clinton did welfare reform.
This is as Clinton is starting. Congress has passed this. Clinton is about to engage in this. Exactly right. And I remember being savaged. It was me and a couple of other moderate Republican offices with a bunch of Democrats. It was a meeting held by Senator Kennedy's staff. And it almost got violent. They got angry when I suggested this. And I said, I don't understand. I mean, aren't we trying to help them? And it became apparent. They're saying, you're stigmatizing welfare. I said, well, I think we're trying to make working better. And that's what the law is. And it became apparent in that meeting that they wanted to enslave these people. I mean, they wanted to keep them. And so what I learned in Washington and ever since has been there really are two kinds of people in Washington on the left, those who are just nasty and want to control you, and those who genuinely want to do good and then who realize afterwards, wow, it didn't really work out as well as we planned. Because, you know, making policy for 300 million people, not so easy.
Yeah, it's fascinating because the Democrats, you know, when you think about – when you even use a term like the Democrats or the Republicans, those definitions have changed over the decades. So I know people that are FDR Democrats. So they vote Democrat, but you want to remind them, hey, it's no longer FDR. It's now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah. It's now Bernie Sanders. It's become a different party. Are you aware of that? You know, and there are some people who simply aren't. And I think a lot of these conversion stories to – conservatism or whatever. It's people, you know, whether it's you or me, a lot of us, you know, I went to Yale, I became a liberal, and you buy into a lot of the good stuff. But then at some point, I remember for me, it was in 87, I started watching the hearings with Bork.
Right.
I was scandalized. I will never forget. I said, wait a second, the good guys are behaving evil. But they were the good guys. I was cheering for Ted Kennedy and those people. The same thing, happened. I think I was watching the Ollie North stuff around that time. And I said, this is, it was a wake up for me. I thought something's wrong here. And it sounds like you experienced that literally on the Hill.
Yes, I did experience it on the Hill. And you also just tapped into something else important, which I would say that Donald Trump recognized early on, which is the narrative is a big problem for us because we do have a media that is pushing a particular narrative, and that narrative surrounds us. Academia, in the circles we were in, it surrounds us. And they have a story where the pieces kind of sort of fit. And then when you see it firsthand,
right,
it's very different. And you mentioned...
Well, it's what Goebbels called the big lie,
yes.
Right? And Dinesh D'Souza's book, he talks about this, that the idea that if the lie is big enough... even people telling the lie think it's true. Everybody thinks it's true. And when you bring up points that defy that narrative, they sweep it away because the rest of it is so huge and so important that let's not quibble over, this or that.
Well, I mean, there's a video that's making the rounds, and they now do this regularly where somebody went on campus and interviewed people with quotes from Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Chuck Schumer about immigration and said they were Trumps, and all the students are saying it's horrible and evil and racist, and they said, well, it's actually Barack Obama. Oh, right? That doesn't fit the narrative. But, I say this all the time. I ran communications for CBS News. And I'm very good at this. For some reason, I know what other people think, okay?
Yeah.
And People think that facts are hard things you have to deal with and opinions are malleable. It's the opposite. People have a narrative. That narrative will trump all facts. People will ignore facts, twist facts, put them, you know, backwards, upwards. We basically have a world in which we all have the same facts, and yet we still have a bell curve.
That is dramatic. That's dramatic. And, of course, we're guilty of that to some extent, to a very, very tiny extent. I want to be clear.
Well, we're
very
aware
tiny.
Of it. Because you're aware of it. No.
I have to joke because it's just you try to be aware of it, right? You try not to fall into that, ideological swamp. I mean, that's really what it is. It takes over everything. This president is such a dramatic figure because he is the first person to fight against all of the whatever that other stuff is. You know, George Bush, 43, he really, like a lot of people, he tried to be civil and kind of play patty cake with people. They kept attacking him and attacking him. I mean, very vicious, but he never fought back. He thought that would be unseemly. And so we're living in a time where we have somebody who doesn't think that's unseemly, somebody who thrives in fighting. So I actually wonder if having a Congress opposed to him will be good for business.
Look, it's all about the margins, meaning the base could not be more excited about where Donald Trump is. The other side could not be more excited to bring him down. And the question is, where's the middle? The middle is being messaged at nonstop. And, you know, Donald Trump had to overcome a field of 17. And how did he do it? Everyone else promised to fight in the future. Every time he opened his mouth, he waged war. That's the truth of it.
I've never heard that. That's a good point. You should become a political activist working for Trump. Have you thought about that?
You think
you'd be fulfilled? But it's kind of interesting, seriously, because what you just said, I think that's right. I think that's why people picked up and said that he's different, because every time he opened his mouth, he was different. It wasn't just he promised to be different. I mean, he's different in so many ways. Before we go to a break, I want to mention to people the banner is still up for CSI. If you haven't yet given, I think you still can. We're going to get an update for you, if not later today in the program, then tomorrow. Final update. But I think you can still give. The banner should be up. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
And the ancient empty streets too dead for dreaming.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump wrapping up his address at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention about 20 minutes or so ago. That was in New Orleans, a crowd he's comfortable with. Common sense people, he calls them, who are the backbone of our country. And he promised hope to farmers after he recently signed into law an $867 billion 10-year farm bill. Also later today at the White House, the president welcomes college football champion Clemson Tigers. An armed man entered a UPS processing facility, took two women hostage as other employees ran for safety. That suspect shot, wounded, and captured. Neither woman suffered injuries. It happened this morning in Logan Township, about 20 miles south of Philadelphia. And on Wall Street, a day in the red, everything down. The Dow down 62, NASDAQ down 47, S&P down 10. For more details, srnnews.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Jeff Balaban. Jeff, you're a new friend. Fascinating to talk to you about so many different things. I want to do another hour with you after this one is over, but we've just got a couple of minutes left. Let's go hardcore current events.
Yeah.
Right now, what is going to happen with this shutdown?
I think he won already. I think when he forced the issue into a public debate, I think that it's all over but the kvetching, you know, and already you see the Democrats are beginning to distance themselves because they're taking a position. And you said this at the outset. They're taking a position that's simply untenable. The same thing which they've said all along they support, all of a sudden they're saying they don't support. And it's transparent that it's just because of a political posture. And by the way, the media, the leftist media is doing themselves no favor by going along with this because people do see through this. Again, the people who hate Trump, they're going to continue to hate him. The people who love him, love him. But he's right. If we make the border secure and are also good in terms of asylum, et cetera, that's where America really is. So his job is to get the message out. My job, by the way, part of it to be an advisor is to get the message out. But, you know, that's the game right now.
Do you think a lot of Jews who did not vote for him the first time might vote for him the second time because of what he did with the embassy, putting it in Jerusalem and on and on and on? What do you think?
I think a lot of Christians who didn't vote for him the first time I'd vote for him now because of that.
You mean evangelical Christians?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, not just evangelicals, but yeah, there's an identity. You know, Israel, like guns and abortion, is an identity issue in this country, and it's for tens of millions of people. It literally is as significant. It, you know, that and abortion tend to be mostly for Christians.
Yeah.
And I think they will. Some who might have had qualms about him because he doesn't come off as a devout Christian
right. Will
say, well, this together with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are so important that we need to come to the table and vote in numbers.
Right.
So even those who weren't sure, I think that should help. And by the way, he's not doing it for that. But the fact that he's doing it, I believe, will bring them to the table.
That's interesting. I wonder, because I think when you talk about the middle, the people who are not hardcore Trump haters, hardcore Trump lovers, that's America. They are the people that determine elections. And so the question really is, where will we be in November of 2020 with those people?
Well, let me say this. I'm going to say this, and this is not a campaign speech. This is me talking to you, what I know you care about and I care about. This man, Donald Trump, is waging war for us, because the reality is, unless someone's willing to wage this war against the narrative of the media, we are doomed. Right. As it is, I think we may be doomed anyway, but at least he's giving it a shot to square off against the narrative, the other narrative, to not be shy about it. You talked about issues of race and other things, to not be shy about it, to square off and fight, because if we don't fight, we're gone.
Well, I agree utterly with what you just said. I've said the same thing. What I find fascinating is that all of the other people on the stage with him, maybe not all, but almost all, would not be up for that fight. Trump was born for that fight. And if it weren't for him fighting now, we would not have a chance. And when I say, you know, have a chance, I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about what's really on the table is American-style freedom. It's the Statue of Liberty. It's what we have stood for since the founders made it possible for us to stand for genuine self-government, genuine self-determining freedom. That's the kind of thing that never existed in the history of the world until America. That goes away unless we all fight now and begin to understand this stuff. It's great to have you on, Jeff. We'll have you on like immediately, maybe tomorrow. We'll have to figure this out. But thank you so much for being my guest. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Thanks for listening.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.